I don't think we're enamored sufficiently in our day and age with Jesus Christ. He is absolutely sufficient to meet every one of our needs.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
We have a tremendous example of what it means to be a Christian servant personified in the character qualities of the Apostle Paul. And he unfolds for us here seven marks of Christian ministry. Seven marks of Christian ministry. And I would suggest that we ought to be committed. Every one of us ought to be committed to developing those marks of Christian ministry in our lives. Now, what are those marks? Remember, we said, number one, we are to serve God courageously. That's verses 1 and 2. Even when it cost us, even when we suffered and were shamefully entreated, even then we were bold to speak unto you the gospel of God. We are to serve God courageously. Number two, we're to serve God sincerely, verses 3 and 4. And then thirdly, we must serve God transparently. And that's verse 5. For neither at any time use we flattering words or a cloak of covetousness. And then we must serve God humbly. We don't seek glory, verse 6. And then we must serve God gently. We were gentle among you, verse 7. And then we must serve God sacrificially. We were willing to have laid down our very lives for you and to have labored and travailed for your well-being, verses 8 and 9. And then we must serve God exemplarily. We must be an example of character and conduct in our Christian service. And that's verses 10, 11, and 12. And Paul was an example in his walk, verse 10. He was an example in his words, verse 11. And he was an example in his wishes for their well-being. His wish or his goal was exemplary. He wanted them to walk worthy of God. Those are the seven marks of true Christian ministry, and every one of us should be burdened to integrate or build into our lives these marks of ministry. First, Paul says, serve God humbly. Do you notice? Verse 6, nor of men sought we glory. We had a humble spirit. We weren't proud. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor yet of others. When we might have been burdensome, we might have weighed you down. That's what the word burdensome means. Barasses, I think is the word, it means to weigh down. We might have weighed you down as the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. We came not only transparently into Thessalonica, we came humbly. You see, Paul was a man of apostolic authority. He was an apostle. There are no apostles today. And there's no such thing as apostolic succession and the authority the apostles conveyed to certain individuals. That's unbiblical. Paul was a man with apostolic authority. He could have asserted that authority. He could have stood on his dignity. I'm an apostle. Show me a certain amount of respect. He could have demanded his rights. He could have insisted that others serve him. I have apostolic authority, Paul says. I might have been burdensome, but I was not. Paul knew that God had not saved him and God had not called him so that other people could serve him. God had saved and called him so that he could serve other people. That's why God saved and called you and I to our ministries. That's what Paul meant in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 12. He said, we have not used this power, this exousia, this authority. We have apostolic authority, but we have not used it. We have not taken advantage of it. We have not used it for manipulative purposes. But we suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel. Paul said, I have a greater reverence for the ministry, for the gospel, and for the needs of others than I do my own position. I'm not going to be always insisting on my rights. I'm not going to be standing on my dignity as an apostle. I'm not going to be asserting my authority. I'm going to do whatever is necessary to convey the gospel to as many people as possible. Came humbly. Paul could say, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you nor of others. Now, Paul does not say, I want you to understand here clearly, Paul does not say that he has no right to glory. There's a sense in which he does have a right to glory. He does not say that he has no right to glory. He possesses a glorious master, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He propagates a glorious message, the gospel of Christ. He has a glorious mandate. He's commissioned as an apostle of Christ with a result that God has given to him a glorious ministry, building the church of Christ. He may have had a certain right to glory, but he never sought it. I wonder how many men seek glory. That's their goal. They seek glory. The Bible says our great privilege and awesome responsibility is to make our ways pleasing to the Lord. That's what we're to do. We're to seek to make our ways pleasing to the Lord. Proverbs 16th chapter, verse 7. That's our great goal in life. Paul had a great master. He might have said, I have a right to glory. I serve the greatest personality in the whole universe. There's no liberator like Jesus Christ. I serve him. But he didn't lay claim to that glory. You know, I don't think we're enamored sufficiently in our day and age with Jesus Christ. He is absolutely sufficient to meet every one of our needs. He can save our souls. Without him, we are eternally lost. And he can bring meaning into our lives as God's people. You know, I hear a lot about religious leaders in our day and age. This is a day of comparative religions. University classes, I spoke at one recently, and high school classes of comparative religions. And the philosophy behind comparative religion courses is that everybody has an element of truth, and you can pick and choose whichever you want. And Jesus said, oh, no, you can't. Not all roads lead to heaven. There's only one way a man gets to heaven. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Nobody else will do. You don't hear a lot about Gandhi in this day and age. You heard much about him lately? Gandhi? I want to tell you, there are two powerful distinctions between Gandhi and Jesus Christ. Here they are. Number one, Gandhi pursued truth. Jesus Christ personified truth. Number two, Gandhi was consumed by death. Jesus Christ conquered death. The tomb of Gandhi is occupied. The tomb of Christ is vacated. It's empty. There's nobody else like Jesus Christ on the face of the globe, and there's no way a man can get into heaven apart from a personal relationship with the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Paul said, I serve a glorious master. In that sense, I have a right to a certain dimension of glory, but I never sought it. But you know something? Paul received it. People who seek glory usually never get it. People who abandon glory generally receive it. Paul, it's the verdict of church history that Paul did ultimately obtain honor and glory even from men. But the beauty of his character is this. He never sought it. He didn't want it. He didn't care about the praise of men. He didn't care if they commended him or if they condemned him. All he wanted was the praise of God. He just wanted to glorify God. And he wanted to hear from God, you've done a good job. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know, Paul says, I serve God humbly. What is humility? Did you ever think about it? Humility is three things. Humility is recognizing my total inability to accomplish anything of lasting value apart from God and his grace. Humility is recognizing my total inability to accomplish anything of lasting value apart from God and his grace. That's humility. Humility is understanding and admitting how deceitful my own heart is. It takes a humble man to say that. God said it, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, but we don't want to admit that. Humility is understanding and being willing to admit how deceitful, how wicked and depraved my own heart is. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9. Humility is quickly, immediately redirecting praise to God and others when it comes my way. It is quickly and immediately redirecting praise to God and others, fully realizing that God and others are more responsible for my successes than I am. That's humility. Paul says one of the great marks of Christian ministry is humility. And then he says we came gently. Do you notice? Verse 7, he says, but we were gentle among you. We might have been burdensome. We might have been high-handed. We might have been arrogant as apostles. We had the office of an apostle, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. The gentleness is stated and the gentleness is illustrated. It's stated, we were gentle among you. Instead of a harsh and high-handed assertion of authority, we were gentle. And that's a word that describes tenderness and devotion. It means fostering and protecting care of those who have needs. And you notice where Paul exercised this gentleness? Do you notice the phrase? We were gentle among you. And in the Greek New Testament, it's en meso, which means in the middle of you, or in the very midst of you. It means that Paul did not remain aloof from God's people. He did not accept the conventional distinction between clergy and laity. We did not remain aloof from you. Far from ascending to a lofty pinnacle and speaking down to his followers, Paul the great apostle, none of us can measure up to Paul. Paul the great apostle freely mingled with them, was always accessible to them. In other words, there was no preoccupation in his ministry with self-importance. In fact, there was no preoccupation with self of any kind in Paul's ministry. We were gentle in the midst of you. We got right down where you were, and we touched your lives. We came into your homes, and we ministered to your needs on a one-to-one basis. And he illustrates it, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Do you notice? That's the illustration of his gentleness. Even as a nurse cherisheth her children. There's a combination of a personal and a professional element there. Paul's term nurse is a professional term. Paul's term nurse suggests the efficiency of a nurse's professional care. And then Paul's expression, her children, literally her own children, for the life of me, I don't know why they didn't translate it, but it's there. The little possessive is there, her own children. Paul's expression, her own children, suggests the affection of a mother's personal care. You have the efficiency of a nurse's professional care, and you have the affection of a mother's personal care. Paul says, we cherished you as a nurse does her own children. That's a beautiful word, cherish. I wonder how many people we cherish outside the framework of our own family. And sometimes we have difficulty doing it within our own family. We need to work on it right at home, cherishing our family members. But outside the family relationship, how many people do we cherish for Christ? The word cherish, by the way, means literally to warm. Thalpe is the word. It means to warm. It was used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, called the Septuagint, in Deuteronomy 22 and verse 6. It was used of a mother bird hovering over and keeping her chicks warm. You know, raising children, that's what Paul was doing. Paul in Thessalonica was raising children. He was the vessel which God had used to give birth to a church. And here was a whole church full of spiritual babies. And Paul, the evangelist, was now becoming Paul, the pastor, and he was ministering to them, and he was raising spiritual children. That's what all of us are to do. We're all to reproduce ourselves. And then we're to nurture those babes that God gives to us spiritually, as Paul did, gently. You know, raising children requires from each parent, at least four things. You know what it requires? I'll just give you an outline. I don't have time to preach it. It requires at least four things, raising children. Well, number one, it requires charity or love. Number two, it requires energy or work. Number three, it requires creativity or thought. And number four, it requires tenacity or patience, the refusal to give in and the refusal to give up. Now, those were the things which had surfaced in the ministry of the Apostle Paul.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
Paul was not simply interested in the big crowds. And the reason is, he was not seeking glory. He really wanted to meet needs.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.